Nice.
We're back. We're back. He yells, "Gimme chocolate," as a stripper shits on his face. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Thank you for that intro. I liked it better when it was the single duck quack. Thank you for that introduction. He won't dish out salads, but he will toss them. It's Jomo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I fucked that. That was good. I like
that. Was good. That's one of the best. Yeah. That one was good.
Would you toss a?
I'm Lady Boy.
Would you toss Lady Boy? Lady Boy.
I don't know. You're trying to trap me, bro.
I'm Lady Boy.
That's, you know, so in Thailand they have these in like Phuket, in Bangkok. If you go there, there's these transgender people. They're like, they're men, but they, you know, they're Lady Boys. That's what they call themselves. Like that. I'm just like. Just like I saw them and I was like, wow, that's a pretty girl. And it's like, no, that's not a girl.
I'm Lady Boy.
So you're saying you'd easily be tricked?
Oh man, I'm stupid, of course.
If you saw The Hangover 2, the guy from The Office got fucked in the ass by one.
Oh yeah, Ed Helms. Yeah,
yeah. They came in his ass.
Dude, for sure. That dude got AIDS. For sure.
He's like, I have a demon in me, and you have semen in you too.
All right. When describing his dick, he states, "It's harder than before." It's Mr. Jack Falcon.
Hello, hello, hello. So, Jomo, where did you hear about these bands? I want to know.
Okay, so Cruelty. There is this. Videographer who does like he records punk and hardcore shows called Hate 56, and I think it was Jesus Piece or fucking what's the other one with the big ass dude who's fucking muscular shit for no reason.
Harms
the dude. So I was watching one of those videos. I was totally not jerking off to that dude's body either. But fucking, I saw Cruelty, and then I was just like, let me click on it. Cause I used to love going out, in Japan and just fucking just going to every Friday night, there'd be like Fujiyama's, and I would love just going to like a whole dive bar with only like 50 people in it. And that's the fucking show, because those were the best fucking shows. Like the most brutal fucking pit mentality. Dudes were fucking fly kicking in the air, punching each other. There was blood on the floor. Like for sure. Like someone got hepatitis C while they were there. And that's, I missed that scene in Japan, man. It was super intense. So seeing a band like Cruelty was like, holy shit, man. You know, it brought me back to the days. Otoboke Beaver, it was just like, holy shit, man. Like, I saw the drummer, I was like, yo, she's fucking fast, bro. She's fucking fast. I saw them on a reel on social media, and I was like, we gotta listen to this fucking band. What's the other band? I'm at a loss for words. Someone help me out.
One of them was Baby Metal.
Was what? Oh, it was
Baby Metal.
Baby Metal. Okay, so there was a Pedophile Anonymous group that was getting together, and one of them, in passing, I wasn't there, told me, "Hey, you know, you should fucking listen and watch Baby Metal." I was like, oh, "All right," but I gave him a listen, and I thought they were different. And then the other one,
Gates of the Hopeless.
Yeah, Gates of the Hopeless was just, I was just searching around. I had no rhyme or reason why I was actually wanting to do this band, okay. But you know, I thought they were good.
Okay. Yo, before we start, let me ask you one question though. When it comes to social media, how many, like specifically Reddit, how many Reddit posts do you think are like troll posts? Like percentage wise, do you think it's high? Do you think it's low? There was a post that I saw, and the guy posted like his ex-girlfriend had blackmail pictures of him, and they were his skidded underwear, because he says that only women are supposed to wipe, so he doesn't wipe his ass crack ever and just uses underwear apparently. Like when I see a post like that, it's like, this has to be fake, this has to be a troll post. What would you think?
I would So you're saying that the girl, he was blackmailing the girl?
No, no. Like, it, he is saying that only women are supposed to wipe, so he doesn't wipe his ass crack ever. He just, I guess, hops in the shower to clean it.
That's fucking...
So she sent like blackmail pics, and they're just his underwear with like, she, I guess, did his laundry. So she would take pictures of his underwear, and she was like, "Oh, hey, I have like blackmail pics of you if you don't do whatever I want."
Oh my God. It's fucking litigious bitches like that that make me hate this fucking world. Like, why would you?
I know. I feel like that post is too whack to be real though.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think, stupid.
I think it's all troll pulls. It's just people trying to create content. You know,
yeah, it is. If you don't wipe, if you don't wipe your ass, it's happened to me like one time. It gets like really, well, you know what I mean. It gets uncomfortable.
Bro, you're fucking gross, bro. Like, I used to religiously. I think what I miss about being in Japan is like the toilets have a bidet built in.
Oh right, yeah.
So even at the airport, you're getting a heated seat that's not from someone else's butt cheek heat. You're getting like
there's a Simpsons about it when he went used the toilet in Japan.
It's beautiful, bro. Japan, oh my God. Like, and then like you bidet your asshole, and then you just you don't wipe it to where you hurt your butthole. You dab it. You dab it.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Oh God.
Yeah, while that's spinning, I think the Japanese like did the bidet first. Like, I remember like when like our friend of the podcast used to talk about like his idea, the bidets in, and how that was considered like really like that was like an edgy idea back before, you know, before the toilet paper extinction of 2020. you know, it was kind of like, you know, like when those home bidet inventions came out, like it was only because there was no toilet paper that people suddenly became like open to the idea of bidets. I remember like in high school, people were grossed out by the thought that like water would touch your butthole. But like, yeah, like the Japanese, the Japanese were just fucking 30 years ahead of us. I don't know.
I think bidet, like, as far as modern wise, yeah, Japan, I think Japan is like the big one to start using it. But I think bidets go back like a long time in like Mexican culture and stuff and Spanish and stuff. But yeah, as far as modern things go, because yeah, America, like you were saying, they're like, I don't want water in my butthole. But then when there's no TP, they have to, what was it, Mucilin or Mucilex or what was that stuff?
Metamucil.
Yeah. You got to get up, drink Metamucil, spray your asshole down, and you're ready to go because there's no TP.
So the word bidet is actually a French word. So that's where bidets actually started in France. Oh,
that would make sense.
Because of how stinky French people are. They needed bidets. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, everybody stunk for like a long time. Like being not stinky is something that's relatively recent. I hate you. Okay, we're going to land on cruelty.
Yo, I'm spamming this whole fucking episode.
Yeah, we know. Dude, I heard that gong hit. Okay.
I've definitely heard that sound before. Like, I've heard it. Yeah, I don't know.
It's from a movie or something. What is that from?
Yeah.
I just literally went on YouTube and just started researching, like, funny Japanese sounds.
Okay, fine.
And then I brought in the inner racist in me, and I just started like putting this shit together.
Good. All right. All cruelty.
Cruelty. Untopia is a 7-track record released in 2023, coming in just under 37 minutes long. It's the band's second studio album. Formed in Tokyo, Japan, in the summer of 2017, Cruelty has emerged as the most notable artist to find that sweet spot where the amalgamation of heavy beatdown hardcore and 90s American Scandinavian death doom metal becomes the blueprint of brutality and slam. With Cruelty, you will hear the ultimate convergence of some of the most punishing death metal riffs and the most mind-blowing breakdowns influenced by Japanese and 90s East Coast hardcore bands. 2020 saw the release of Cruelty's debut album, A Dying Truth, and revealed itself as one of the heaviest albums that year. With their new LP, Untopia, Cruelty will release an album even bigger in scope and ultimately heavier than their debut. I expect Cruelty to crush stages live in your city in 2023 with tours planned in North America, Europe, Australia, Asia, etc. They had their releases so far in 2020, like I said, they had A Dying Truth, and then they had an EP also out in that year called Immortal Nightmare. Oh, the information here comes from either Wikipedia or these bands' band camps or websites. So a lot of the stuff like Cruelty, there's not a whole ton of information on them out there. So when I was reading their like their ad blurb here, that's just from their website. Rob, what do you think of Untopia?
I liked it. So I'm not gonna disagree too hard with their you could tell that was self promotional. But it's not a million miles off. I listened to this beginning to end twice. Let's call that more than I have to. I liked it enough to you got a hardcore sound here. It reminds me of Knocked Loose or something in that I don't know that this is so fucking original or but it who fucking cares, it's fucking loud. I would fucking dance to this. I would see this live. I would have a good time seeing it live. If I was hanging out with people and they put it on while we're driving around in a car or whatever, I'd have a good time. This is fucking, it's heavy. It's fucking, it's good. There's a bad riff or two, but who fucking cares? I listened to it beginning to end twice. I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about it. It's good, but what do I say? I don't know what to say. It's good, but it's not revolutionary. So I'll give it, I'll give it third place for the week. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the points that I was going to bring up as well. So in general, I'm giving both of the female groups, female led groups this week, number one. I'm tying them both for one, and I'm tying these other two bands for number two. And the reason is because I've just heard this a billion times. This CD, I'm not going to say it's derivative or anything like that, but this CD is definitely heavy as fuck. So they are, right about that. And it flows well. It's recorded well. And they, like I was saying before, they do mix regular hardcore beatdown with doom or death metal. And I think that does a lot for it. I would love to rip a show with these guys. When I talk about some of their stuff, okay, so when we'll talk about the female led fronted bands or whatever later, but even when I think this record is good all the way through. There are some bangers on here: Unknown Nightmare, banger; Burn the System, banger; Maze of Suffering, best song on the album. But when I got to the end, I'm this album is solid. But my thing is that I would like it to be a bit riskier, right? So the formula works, the beatdown hardcore formula. We've talked about it before. It's very specific. There's a billion beatdown hardcore songs, all essentially revolve around the same set of ideas, just done in different ways, different tunings, different tempos, whatever. While everything works here, the formula is used as it's supposed to be. The transitions are smooth. It's always interesting. I wanted one of those, oh shit, I didn't see that coming moments. And it never happens on this album, which is fine. It doesn't need to. These guys don't have to completely go outside the box. When you start straying from the hardcore thing, if you want to be in that group, people are, that's when they're I don't know if I really want to play with you guys anymore. They're very specific about it. I think this is a good record. It's good to know that these different styles of music are alive and well all over the world and have reached all over the world. It's I'm not saying that I would never think that there's a Japanese metal band, but there's a lot of the metalcore stuff or the beatdown hardcore stuff. It comes from America. And then there's a lot of stuff though that online where people are everything from the United States is shit, right? Everything's done better elsewhere. So I would think that people wouldn't that this scene wouldn't be nearly as big outside of the United States as it is in the United States. But there's a bunch of metal bands, and a lot of these hardcore metal bands go back pretty far. Some of these guest musicians on one of the other albums, and they had a hardcore band in 1999, so they do go back pretty far. It's good to see that it's alive and well. I can't understand any of the lyrics on this album anyway, so if someone played this for me, I wouldn't even realize it was a Japanese band. I would have just thought it was the average hardcore band from somewhere in the States. I guarantee that the pits to this band are crazy, and there's probably a lot of karate going on in it. One thing I prefer about metal pits to the hardcore bits is a lot of time in the metal pit, they're just running into each other. They're not doing the karate shit, but the hardcore pit, there's always someone doing karate in it. Jomo, what do you think of this album? No, oh my God.
Bro, this is fucking, this is the biggest surprise that I saw. So when I first watched these guys, I was just curious, man. Hey, what is this band about? You know, I think that's the first time when anytime you go to a show and you see a few bands that you don't know, you just go, okay, let me just see how they sound, you know, and let me just bob my head. And if I get into the pit, I get into the pit. Listening to this fucking album though, I did listen to their album before that, A Dying Truth. I thought that was pretty fucking good, but Utopia was great. Two great songs, Burn the System and Harder Than Before, fucking are just heavy as shit. Come to find out, the lead singer, man, he unfortunately left, and the lead guitarist decided to take up vocals as well. I think that does the band a fucking disservice, man. I like hearing two guitars separately, obviously, like, doing their own thing in their element. And I want to, the front man has to be the energy of the band. So when you're dual-heading on a fucking, in a band, it makes it a little bit difficult to try to concentrate that energy and put it out there. There's some people who do it well. Fucking Neil Peart does it great. The dude from Breaking Benjamin does it poorly. Pretty sure he's an autist. But the most important part to remember about Cruelty is that they're doing something that is typically not really seen in Japan, right? So most people are into, like, especially in that part of the world, into J-pop, EDM, fucking some of the softer shit. And these guys are like, hey, we've been listening to Madball and all these bands, we're into fucking the hardcore scene. And truly, they, you can see that they got elements of fucking metal in them, man. And there's a few riffs that have like this black metal tone, or black metal riffing I should say. And there's just this different heaviness. So when I watch them fucking play live, it's just like, people Americans will fucking embrace you if you put out what they want, right? And a lot of the times, this is why Western society is falling, is because delusional people, women, are not listening to fucking men about what they want. So I think the biggest part is these people are listening to what the people want. They like what they do, and they're putting out something that is fucking amazing, man. And it's impressive that these guys are, you know, an indie band, and they're actually putting out something fucking heavy and fucking in your face, man. So I got nothing but respect for these guys. I would give these guys solid number two for the week as something that I enjoyed listening to. But that's all I got to say about it. And I hopefully I get to see Cruelty in the near future.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who like this band. I meant to watch that Hate 5-6 video. I'll probably watch it when we're done here. One of the things is that there's a riff that, like, a tail that the guitar player constantly does. It's this descending minor, like, tremolo pick riff. There's a bunch of bands that do it. It's not, like, brand new to this band. But he does it, like, in every single song. So after a while, it's like, okay, just get five or six different tails and then cycle between them instead of just, like, one or two that we hear for quite a few of the riffs. In the song Manufactured Insanity, there is a comment on that song that says, wow, this is brutally delicious. And, yeah, I think that, like, the combination of hardcore and death metal, like, works for this band, like really well. There's a song I talked about, Burn the System. When I hear that song, it's like, I want this band. I want to think that this band is going to get bigger. I don't know how big they're going to get, but I would like to think they're going to get relatively bigger than they are. Joma, how big do you think this band is? So they have a Hate 5-6. So they're not the smallest band, right?
No, they're not the smallest band, but I would say that they're getting there. They're not fucking Knock Loose fucking,
yeah, right,
big yet, but I think they're appreciated on the indie scene because they did a short tour in America, so it's just a matter of time before they actually get big, man. But
yeah,
they gotta incorporate different shit, man. There's gotta be, if I'm gonna be listening to hardcore, I want more hardcore than I want metal into that shit.
Trying to think about that. Anyway, this is a good record. It's solid all the way through. It sounds good. And there's only one song. So when I first started listening to this, the song Harder Than Before, there are a couple riffs in that song where I was picturing some lead playing going over it, and it never happens. Like, it doesn't have to be crazy, but I feel like there's a couple parts in this record where if somebody played a lead over it, it would have really made it pop. Now, they do play leads over it. It does happen, like, throughout the record, but that song specifically has a couple where I was like, if they did it, I think this song would have done more for me. But yeah, I'm going to watch that video. This band is good. It's just, I've heard so much beatdown hardcore that like when I hear something that makes me go like, oh shit, that's, I wasn't expecting that. It's kind of more pulling my attention that way. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First one, this album is absolutely punishing in all the right ways. Next one says, somewhere between hardcore and old school death metal, this shit slaps. Next comment, really enjoying my workout with this. Next one, the snare especially just really does it for me. And lastly, old school as fuck. Two thumbs up, love it. Yeah, it's a solid record. Is there anything that anybody else wants to say about Cruelty?
Yes.
Next.
Oh my God. All right, let's spin the wheel. Okay, we're spinning. This is brought to you by meatspin.com.
Yeah.
All right, we're doing both of them back to back. Gates of the Hopeless.
I'm Lady Boy. Drop
the artwork. Oh, this band is just called Gates of Hopeless. There's no dot in there. Thanks, Jomo. So this album is called In the Twilight of Nocturne. There is almost no information of this band, and they don't have a website. At least Cruelty has a website. These guys do everything through Bandcamp. Their stuff is on YouTube. I don't know if they posted it or somebody else ripped it and posted it over there, but if you want to find them, they're on Bandcamp. In the Twilight of Nocturne is a 12-track record released in 2022, coming in just under 44 minutes long. It's the band's second studio album and features guest appearances from other Japanese hardcore bands like Loyal to the Grave, Statecraft, Birthplace, and Identity. Other releases they've had, they had Cavern Memory in 2018, To Kill in 2019, which I believe was just a single, and they had a split in 2023 with another band, I can't remember who it was, called A Split Document. Jomo, what do you think of Gates of Hopeless?
I'm fucking Jomo.
I'm gonna spam this shit like it's I don't have much to say, man. For the reason that I just didn't really enjoy this band, you're probably like, then why the fuck did we listen to? You're probably thinking that. Literally, it was just like I threw a dart at the wall, and it was just like, what do we want to do? You want to do this or that? Do the dart. It was just like, okay, that's what it landed on. That's what we're fucking doing. Not impressed. But I just because I if you're gonna like Japanese bands, the metal bands are okay. You have what is that damn band? Dion Gray. They're definitely different for me, and I wasn't a big fan of them. But this band just didn't do it for me, man. It didn't hit. Just not impressed with it, and that's really all I have to say about it.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm tying this for number two. So where we had with Cruelty, I was saying they are doing more of the beatdown hardcore. These guys, Gates of Hopeless, are doing more of the metalcore stuff. They sound a lot like a Killswitch style band. There's really good riffing on this album. There's 10 times the amount of riffs than were on the Cruelty one. This is probably the roughest recording. It's not that it's that bad. It just could be better. It's a bit tinny. The bass and the bass drum could pop a bit more. The bass, it's hard for me to hear on most of this record, but if you listen, you can hear the bass drum coming through. It doesn't take away from the album for me, but I would like to hear what this sounds live because it might come across a bit better. Yeah, it's another band. I'd love to rip a show with these guys as well. And just like the issue I had with the other album. Now, I don't hate this record. I think it's good. There's a lot of good riffs in it. This, again, like never gave me that oh shit moment. There were even parts of like Cruelty or this where when like the song was ending, it's like I already know, like even when the album's ending, it's like, yeah, I know exactly where that's going. And not that it's a bad thing, but when I'm constantly being like kind of taken in different turns with the other bands that we listen to, I was just looking for the same thing here. This album starts off with an instrumental that I have no clue what the point of it is being on this album. Like it sounds really good, but it's like, why is it here? They could have just opened it up right from the second song for Liberation starts with like a hi-hat hit into the song. They could have just started the album with that. Like unless it's a reference to something, or you know how like Coheed had that stupid ass song that they put on all of their albums. Unless it's like a reference, like when I'm listening to it, it's like why is it here though? I just don't get it. It's so like out of left field, and it's like a song that's like it's supposed to sound like an orchestra. I'm like, okay, it sounds fine, but like, I just don't get why it's here. I would have just dumped it. But yeah, there's a bunch of great riffs on this album. Like To Kill has some of my favorite, and the guest musicians that they have, the guest singers, I believe they're all vocalists. They all sound great. You can tell when they're coming in, even if you've never heard this band, they sound just
You're breaking up
great there. Guitar playing on here. What's up?
Breaking up there, buddy.
Am I?
He sounds fine to me. I don't know.
Sounds like you're breaking up, Jomo. Anyway, there's a lot of great guitar playing on this album. Lead guitar playing is great. If where the other one is like a hardcore style, this is more of a metalcore style. And if you want that, yeah, there's a lot of people who like this album as well and this band, and there's nothing wrong with that. I would go see them. But yeah, this is more like, it's not going to have like those like Killswitch choruses, but like a lot of the playing sounds a lot like a metalcore Killswitch Engage band. Rob, what do you think of Gates of Hopeless?
Yeah, so I got like maybe like a Slayer influence here. Like there's a lot of guitar minis, and like you said, no sung chorus or whatever. But yeah, this doesn't sound like your modern like ultra digital album. It sounds like it was recorded in the 80s with like acoustic drums and microphones on mic stands, you know, for the good and the bad that is. I mean, like Cruelty, like it sounds modern, like it's fucking loud. There's no noise. It's all, you know, it's all signal. These old school albums, like this was recorded in 2021, but it doesn't sound like a new recording. It sounds like it was done in the 80s, and like, you know, is that good or is that bad? It is what it is. There's a certain charm to those old recordings, but you know, it sounds like it's recorded in a trash can. You know, which again, like, is that good or is that bad? I mean, I have such memories of being a teenager and being in like, you know, shitty ass bars, and it's just like the fucking desperation of like, this place fucking sucks, but if the band on stage rules, it's like music is gonna take me out of this hellhole. So it's like there is something about the shittiness of a sound. There can be hope in it. But anyways, I don't know. This album's all right. I listened to like half of it. Whatever. Fourth place. That's it.
Yeah, the thing about smaller bands and bad recordings is it's going to happen with pretty much all of them. When people start out, especially, you know, not every band is going to be baby metal where you have a $10 million budget behind you. So they're putting it like, okay, when I think of bands that I've been in and we've recorded something good or bad, if it doesn't get out, it breaks my fucking heart, right? Because it's like, I want that. It was done. We at least did it. There are bands you will be in that will never record anything, not anything bad, not anything good, just fucking nothing. You'll write 10 songs, you'll play 10 shows, and the band will break up and those songs are gone for fucking ever. Hollow Teeth has a demo that we recorded a couple years back. We did it ourselves. We did it in our practice room. And everybody in the band is like, yo, that demo sounds like shit. Like, I hate it. And it's like, I don't hate it, because there's a possibility that that could never have happened, or that's the only thing ever that would have happened. And I'd rather it sound like shit than not have it at all. So yeah, you're going to see this, especially with bands of this style, metal bands. You're going to have just get into the fucking studio and record something, because there's the possibility you won't ever have fucking anything. And yeah, like there's one other demo of a band that I was in that someone is like holding hostage and won't fucking give it to me. And I think about it every day and it hurts my fucking soul. Anyway, so yeah, at least regardless, they got it out. Now, and I don't know what people can do with modern remastering or whatever, where they can make it sound, but they got it out. People do like this band. They have a song in here, Seventh Strife, which is one of my favorite songs on here. A guitar player rips. There's one part where I wanted the guitar players to play this harmonic riff where one of them was playing it low and one of it was playing high, and they did it. And so when these guys do that together, it's jizzworthy. I think it works. And yeah, this is, again, I don't know. It's like the other albums are just so much more interesting to me, because they are just trying so many different things that when I hear something that is more kind of by the books, cookie cutter style, it's like, just do, give me one whack fucking crazy. Just make me do a double take. Just give me one of them. And nope, they don't really do it here. And that's okay. You don't have to. And there's other people who don't want that. But when we're listening to things like Baby Metal and fucking Beaver, it's like, they're giving me that stuff. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First, Real Deal Japan, metalcore. Next one says, goated band. Next comment, yet another great album where a lot of the time was spent writing some awesome music and then destroyed by a cookie monster god awful vocalist. Jesus. That's another thing that tends to happen with smaller metal bands. Next one says, Japan edge style, and lastly, would totally mosh my balls off to this. Yeah, I would too, probably. Is there anything that anyone wants to say about Gates of Hopeless?
I do.
No.
Okay. All right, let's roll the spin the wheel.
This episode is going to be mildly racist. Come on. Rob's like, I want no part. Rob, thank you for this. Rob's distancing himself. He's like,
okay. It landed on baby metal.
Okay. Lady boy.
Are we all ready?
Yes. We're ready.
All right, Baby Metal is a 13-track record released in 2014, coming in just under 55 minutes long. It's the band's debut studio album, reaching number 2 on the Japanese Billboard chart, and contains the singles Doki Doki Morning, Headbanger, IDZ, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, Megitsune, and Gimme Chocolate. Musically, the album follows Baby Metal's fusion of J-pop and heavy metal, referred as kawaii metal, at times incorporating elements of bubblegum pop, hip-hop, drum and bass, and dubstep. The original core members of the band were Sue Metal, Moa Metal, and Yui Metal. Yui Metal left in 2018 due to an undisclosed illness and was replaced by Momo Metal. Sue Metal is the main vocalist, credited on Baby Metal's official site with vocals and dancing, while Moa Metal and Yui Metal are credited with scream and dance, performing on either side of her in a triangle formation. In the band's early years, the members did not speak directly to the audience or smile at the crowd, but over time they have incorporated more audience engagement and call and response into their performances. Between songs, Baby Metal does not engage with the crowd. Instead, there is a blackout, or in situations where that is not possible, they will freeze in a pose or turn away from the crowd. Baby Metal's costumes take a variety of cues from the popular Japanese gothic and punk Lolita styles, with an emphasis on red and black. Lyrically, the songs in the album are in Japanese and focus on issues for young girls, like acceptance and standing up for oneself. Gimme Chocolate talks about girls who like to eat chocolate while dealing with the worry of weight gain. Doki Doki Morning and Uki Uki Midnight are described as two sides of a day, and as such describe the contrasting times of a girl's life. Headbanger tells the story of a girl's first experience at a concert. The Baby Metal style of moshing, which I can't pronounce the name, and nobody says it, so I'm not going to try, has been described as a safe, fun, friendly game of push and shove. Prior to the album's release, Baby Metal performed as a subunit from 2010 to 2013, and music that would be included surfaced as early as October 2010, when the members recorded their vocals for their first song, Doki Doki Morning. From late 2012 to early 2013, Baby Metal took part in a series of headlining shows, performing new songs in each performance. The band then embarked on their first tour, the Baby Metal Death Match Tour 2013. Song 4 lists its credits for lyrics and music as Black Baby Metal, the stage name for the duo of Yui Metal and Moa Metal without Sue Metal. Herman Lee and Sam Topman from Dragon Force appear on the song Road of Resistance. Baby Metal has been certified gold. Their other releases, they had Metal Resistance in 2016, Metal Galaxy in 2019, and the other one in 2023. So yeah, I like this record a lot. I think that this has to be one of the most sellable acts in metal or music these days. I'm giving this a tie for number one. And I really do love the evolution of metal. I don't really care what it is. There are people who shame this band for their style, and I'm going to talk about that a bit more in a minute. But for me, there's no shame at all in combining different elements, especially what they've made here. They made something like heavy as fuck, and it's fun and good for them. Vela loves this band. He has for a while. I'm pretty sure Jerry loves it as well. I think it's important for people to understand that an album like this was not made in a garage. Okay. There are a ton of people behind, the production of the album, and there's a bunch of money, invested into it. So like Baby Metal is an orchestrated operation, from the girl's image to the backing band, to the stage shows. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not hating on them for what they've created here, but I think that there are people out there who think that this album was made by like 3 15-year-olds, and it was not. This record was made by like 40 people. And the big picture of it seems like a more professional, expensive version of Guar to me. Like, when I think about it, they have this big stage show, a bunch of people, they have the backing band. There's a bunch of people running this thing. What else do I want to say about this? Oh, and so like, while there are like essentially like irreplaceable members, even though one of the members is gone, they have replaced her, but like, you couldn't just take the three ladies and remove all of them and put new people in, like three dudes, and expect people to accept them as the same band. But you could take the backing band out and like nobody would give a shit. I think they wear masks and stuff. And probably no one even knows who the fuck they are anyway. Anyway, I think this is a good CD. It's fun. I've known about this band for quite a while. I've never listened to them. I've heard a couple things or seen a video because this band has gone viral. Like, that's one of the things. Wikipedia could be wrong with their numbers, but for how popular this band has been, all the records have gone like gold, which is like 500,000 copies. And that's in Japan. And that's not even like in the United States. So like there's endless YouTube videos about this band and ton of people love them. So either the numbers are wrong or I don't know how like sales are counted anymore. Another thing about Baby Metal is I guarantee there's tons of simps for this band all over the fucking planet. And like part of that is set up by the people. They know dudes are going to simp for this band. And part of it is just dudes being very easily separated from their money by any nerdy, pretty, or Japanese woman. Rob Halford said that he believes that Baby Metal is the future of metal. I don't think it's certainly the one future or the only future of metal, but it is one of them. Like, the Baby Metal, or what did I call it, kawaii, like that, what is they call cute metal, that genre is going to grow. But like, I don't expect Ozfest 2055 to be like Black Sabbath being kept alive by machines and having 25 like kawaii bands opening up for them. I don't think it's going to be the end all be all of music. For one, to have a, like something like this is not cheap. It's not easy. And so people who are going to come after Baby Metal, it's you're going to have a lot of people investing in you to even be on the level that these girls are at. They're talented to begin with, but then both sides are talented. The band that backs this band, the ladies, is very fucking talented as well. And like, there's no slouches here involved, but like getting these bands together or getting these musicians together, creating this image, making this fucking machine that is Baby Metal is not cheap. It is not easy. And is not just going to, it's not going to be like the local hardcore scene of, that's like in your state, or the local metal scene, or the local country scene, whatever. It's not just going to organically come out of garages, if you know what I mean. Like, this is going to be a whole fucking thing to compete with something like this. Rob, what do you think of Baby Metal?
This is another one of those bands that I fucking hated initially. Okay, so like, yeah, I think Vela showed them to me, and so what I hated is like, when I was fucking 12 or whatever, 10, whatever the fuck age I was, my brother would like turn on MTV. My brother was a musician. He was in punk bands, he would turn on MTV, like Christina Aguilera's on fucking TRL or whatever. And he would mute it. He'd say, hell yeah. And he'd mute it. And we'd watch, you know, the equivalent of softcore porn on daytime TV. Nice. And it was like, the message to me was like, you know, my brother fucking loved music. It was his identity. It was like how he spent all of his time. It was his entire social life. It was fucking everything. It was the most meaningful thing on the planet to him. And then to turn on MTV and like to mute it, that was like, we're treating this like it is. The sound that you're making isn't fucking music. It's garbage. Throw it in the fucking trash. The only value you're presenting is the sex here. And so like, to me, like that burned something in my brain to where like, if you are like putting forth this image of sex, that means you're hiding the fact that you don't give a shit about the music. You're hoping to like take advantage of people who barely give a shit about music and trying to like, okay, my wife won't let me like watch porn, but my wife will let me listen to Christina Aguilera, whatever, you know? So that's how I saw this entire fucking world. Was if you were putting a sex image forward, that meant you didn't give a shit about music, you didn't have a message, you didn't fucking care, you were just you're a crafty salesman. That's how I saw it. And then like, you know, you go forward a couple years and like Dirty Old Men would say like, you know, yeah, Baby Metal. It's like, okay, you know, like four metal bands, you know, Metallica, you know, Megadeth, and you know, Baby Metal. Like, okay. You're like, everyone was there for, you know, those big four are popular popular enough to where the average person fucking knows them. And then if you have sex appeal on top of it. And then like the part that bothered me the most is that there's a bunch of teenage girls running around.
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
Bro, were you waiting for that?
I signed on earlier in the fucking week, and I played around with the soundboard. That's the first time I've pressed the soundboard. Like, we've had the soundboard for months, and I've never fucking used it. But yeah, the Screamers in the band were born in 99. So if this album came out in 2014, the Screamers were 15, and the singer was 17. So they're all underage, and like, you know, so like, you're fucking riding a line with this shit. You're saying that there's a blackout on the screen all the clips that I have ever seen of this band is like nu metal riffs and then like little girls like jumping up and down to it. I mean, maybe I'm on drugs or something, but like what I remember is you know, and then I'm just imagining like the coworker who told me to listen to baby metal, that dude was like 55 years old. And so I'm just imagining him jerking off to 15-year-old women. And I'm just like, this is like, I fucking hate humanity when it comes to shit like this. But anyways, okay. So that's the background. That's what I was coming in. Like, in Jomo would send me, there's a meme that I love this meme. But it's, the dude from, American Psycho, with the fucking, headphones on, and he's walking through. So he's in the business suit, and Patrick Bateman walking through the office with his, you know, macho alpha energy, and then like the headphones in, and the meme is he's actually listening to baby metal, Give Me Chocolate. And every time he sent it to me, I'm just like, I fucking hate baby metal. But anyways, one thing I learned about myself is I have a fucking negative reaction to everything, and I'm not gonna have any fucking quality of life unless I give things a chance. So like, that's what this podcast does for me, is it makes me reinvestigate everything that I think I fucking know, start from square one. So that's how I entered this week. Okay, so I turn on this album this week. First song is Baby Metal Death, and so I fucking love that song. And I didn't like, I was aware that I might be getting played here, but I'm just imagining like, okay, so like the first season of Glee, like you're watching this fucking group of singers, they're fucking nobody, they're losers, the band might break up at any fucking time, but like you're establishing your first impression of this like group of people or whatever. There's a certain magic in season one that you don't have in season two when they've fucking won already and like they're maintaining. Okay, so I'm listening to the first song off of the first baby metal record, and I'm imagining every fucking record exec like being like, yo, we need to play up our sex appeal right away, we need to like whatever. But what you really have is a almost 6 minute long song that contains almost no female in it. I mean, the females say there are names in it, and like but it's pretty much all screaming, like punk beats, brutal solos. It's like they're not playing up the sex appeal, which to me makes me like them more. I mean, maybe they fucking maybe these fucking genius fucking record exec types like know that they're playing to me, trying to win me over, knowing how cynical I am or whatever. Whatever, they're fucking smart. They figured me out. I love this song, and It's not perfect. Okay, the recording of this album is not perfect. My gripe is the guitar tone. A 100 watt tube amp compared to like you need like a 200 watt solid state amp to like compete with it, with that 100 watt, so you need double the wattage, but even so, like the tube amp sounds better. It's like the tube amp cuts through. I have an issue where like listening to Baby Metal Death and some others, like most of the album really, where it's like, I can tell that metal riffage is going on, but like, as far as distinguishing individual notes, it's a little bit difficult, but I know the tempo and I can hear the drums clear as day. It's not such a big fucking deal, but like, you know, so I'm giving them like a a C plus for guitar tone, but like, yeah. So anyways, I love the solos. I love, you know, yeah, but yeah. Megitsune, I fucking love that song. Give Me Chocolate, like, Line, love. There's so many fucking, I might lose my train of thought here explaining this, but basically what I want to say here is I've heard a number of like, okay, so I, first of all, I'm a big fan of anime. Like when I was 12, Dragon Ball Z was my favorite fucking show in the world. And then I could list every fucking anime I've watched. It's I think more than the average person. I don't know how many people think that anime is dork shit that only dorks would watch. Well, I'm a fucking dork. I fucking love it. I don't know. So like, there's a bunch of Japanese bands that I've listened to that have especially the ones in like 2006 and afterward, there's a lot that would combine nu metal, pop punk. There's one that me and my friends liked quite a bit called Maximum the Hormone. So they would have like a nu metal riff that would be like as heavy as like Korn or something, and then it would go into like a pop punk riff that was as, you know, we were kind of amazed that you could combine all these things and it worked as well as it did. I would never have imagined it. And I had a good time listening to bands like that. So when I listened to Baby Metal in 2024, I was like, I think Baby Metal is doing a sound that I have heard before, but I think Baby Metal did it a little better. I think there's times here where like the nu metalness is like quite nu metal, quite heavy, and then like there's like reggae riffs, and there's like I don't know, some of the like the pop vocal melodies are like I don't know, I've heard this before, but I think Baby Metal has done it the best that I've ever heard it. I don't know what to say here exactly, but like I listened to this album maybe 15 times this week. I fucking love this band. I listened to some of their later albums. I mean, they're good, but I think this album, Baby Metal, the 2015 album, I think this one's my favorite, because I think like especially the 2023 album, that one they go a little bit more in the pop direction, which is like okay and probably makes them more money or whatever. But I think this album, the balance between like the metal, nu metal, and the like popness of it, I think is good. I don't know if other people think this, but I know that in my hometown, like among the metalheads, there was a really fucking negative image of like female fronted metal bands. It was seen as a cash grab that was not a real metal thing. And there's I definitely have memories of these bands that like claimed to be metal band, but they were like basically pop bands that had like a little bit heavier distortion than normal. I'm like, when I listen to metal, I expect a certain amount of like riffage to dominate the bandwidth of the sound. If it's like, if you have a heavy guitar tone and then pop singers over it, to me, that's pop music. It's not metal. But I think Baby Metal, the 2015 album, I think this album, like, it's, to me, it's the right fucking mix where like it actually feels like a metal album. And I don't think, I remember listening to YouTube clips back in the day and thinking that the vocals don't match, like they don't mix with the metalness of it. And it's just fucking corny and dumb. And you're trying to sell to people who hate metal. So you're trying to present it as a sexual thing and whatever. But like the reaction I had this week is like, this is awesome. These things aren't supposed to mix, but they mix really well. I had a good fucking time listening to this. I'm giving it first place for the week. That's it.
Yeah. I want to respond to a bunch of stuff that you said. Yeah. Okay. So there's like 50 different genres of music like mixed together here. When I hear a song like Song 4, I have to ask, like, because musically that song is like all over the place, and I don't know if it makes it better or if it makes it worse for doing so. There are metal parts of the song that are thrash. So yeah, there's even thrash metal on this album. There, yeah, you brought up reggae in the song. I don't know if it's called Line, whatever it's called. But like the fourth song, right? There's like a rap style part in that song, and it goes directly into like the heaviest fucking breakdown on the record. And I don't know. It's funny. Like, some of this stuff makes me laugh. I don't think it's like stupid. It's just so ridiculous that and it works. So Rob Zombie got a bunch of backlash at one point for bringing Baby Metal on tour with him or whatever, and repping them online. And I completely see people wanting, to go see Rob Zombie or Pantera or Knocked Loose and not wanting Baby Metal as the opener. I completely get that. But yeah, they are a legit band and they have tons of energy. And that's one of the things that he said, is that Baby Metal has more energy than a lot of the bands that we play with. And I agree, they probably do. However, then I hear a song like Doki Doki Morning and the chorus is so fucking hilarious to me. And it's amazing. And it's like keyboard synthy on one side of it, and then it's like brutal metal on the other side of it. And I'm picturing a crowd of Black Label Society fans waiting for Black Label Society to play and having to sit through this in fucking horror. And it makes me laugh. Yeah, these guys are the real deal, whether people want to admit it or not. Now, the jerking off thing. Okay. Part of that is definitely it's hard to say when people have thought everything out. If you guys saw there's a meme going around about, okay, the second Dune movie just came out. And whenever you go to the movie theater and there's a big movie, you can get like popcorn in a themed like bucket. And the new one is like the worm. And the whole joke is like, everyone's going to fuck the bucket. Right. Mm-hmm. So the whoever designed that is a fucking idiot, because if someone showed that to me, I would have said, okay, that's, yeah, people are going to meme the hell out of that, because they're going to talk about fucking the bucket. So, where am I going with this? I don't remember. About the sexuality. So like the people who are in charge of this stuff, they, unless they're completely oblivious to the fucking world around them, they have to understand that like that is going to be a byproduct of it. The other one is the byproduct that you can't really do anything about, that the world is a fucking skeeze, that the world needs to go to horny jail in fucking general. When you have these women out, especially now that they're over 18 years old, people are going to be, I don't know if they're creeps about it, but the fact that like they don't smile at the audience, they don't look at the audience, I'm going to guess, yeah, it's because they're like, yo, those people all, like, we'll take their money, they can buy your shirt, they can come to the show, but, you know, they stink and we don't want them within 25 feet of you. When I first put this record on, Rob brought the song Baby Metal Death, I did a double take because that's an instrumental and the girls don't sing on it. And when I'm listening to it, I was like, it's like a pretty brutal fucking metal song. And I was like, I could have sworn that Baby Metal was the metal band with the three leading ladies that Vella was always talking about. I was like, maybe I have it confused. I don't know why another band would be called Baby Metal, but like, okay, I don't know. It's just such an odd way to open the album that they're not on it. I don't know. It's a weird choice. But the backing band of this operation is fucking great. There are songs that you can listen to, like let's pick one out here, like it's so weird pronouncing fucking Japanese words, like Akatsuki. Okay, like I don't care who's like playing the guitar in that song. I mean, I don't know who's playing the guitar in that song, but like, goddamn, the drummer is fucking awesome too. There's one comment that we're gonna read where someone is like, I haven't seen a single comment about the drummer. Yeah, it's because the drummer's a guy and nobody gives a shit. But the drummer of this band is fucking awesome as well. He's a beast. And when I hear some of the songs and I kind of filter out the women, I'm just thinking, I wonder how popular this band would have been without the girls. And the answer is probably not popular at all. They would have the same turnout as like Primus, a bunch of stinky dudes, or fucking who else? I don't know. They would not have reached this level of fame. And it's not on them. Sex sells in general. Women sell in general. Like I said, guys are very easy to separate from their money. Men are stupid. They really are. I'm not simping. I'm not simping for this band in general. Okay.
You fucking sell out. Don't talk to me.
How am I a sellout? You make it seem like I'm sitting here. You make it seem like I'm sitting here in Baby Metal hat, shirt, underwear. I'm not simping for this band.
What's wrong with men right now?
Men are smart, but when it comes to women, they're dumb. They are. Women can get you to do the dumbest shit, to open your wallet immediately and just give them everything in it. Like they know what's going on. Anyway, I can definitely see where people of metal don't want this combination. They don't I don't know anything about Black Label Society fans. I'm going to use them as an example because they're a very specific fan base. I'm going to guess they don't want the combination of baby metal like moving into the stuff that they like. And that's fine. They don't have to. I'm pretty sure if people want to go see baby metal, they don't want... fuck, what's that band? Where's the fanny pack and the flip-flops?
Gorguts.
The metal band Gorguts. I'm pretty sure they don't want them opening the show. So it goes both ways. But this is also, I've said before that thrash metal is very hard, or hardcore metal, thrash metal, whatever, is not the easiest thing to get people into. This is a gateway thing that you can get anybody into. Well, not the ones who are already on the other side who don't want to go back, but the ones who haven't crossed the metal line, this is a way to get them in. And I guarantee you a lot of people have gotten into metal due to baby metal. And the big thing about this, again, that I want to say is that this is not a brain dead album with like sex trying to sell it. There is a whole great band here, and the girls themselves are great singers as well. They're not slouches either. But the girls would be nothing without this band, and this band unfortunately would be nothing without the girls. It's going both ways. They are both scratching each other's backs here. Jomo, what do you think of baby metal,
bro? I was just watching them and I kept thinking,
I'm fighting for my life.
You're like, I'm on another list.
I'm on the watch list, bro. here's what the instrumentals are fucking phenomenal, bro. And you guys said it all, man. There's not much for me to say. Instrumentals are phenomenal. The fucking there's too much J-pop fusion in it that it's very off-putting, and you could tell during their shows they're fucking lip syncing. They're tracked out. It's fucking bullshit.
You think these girls lip sync?
Yes, dude, 100%. They cannot. It's so difficult to have consistent vocals. There's you know how you get like certain fucking feedback and all that shit from like breathing or like just any other bodily sound. You never fucking hear it during any of their shows. So I could definitely tell it's definitely like, it's all tracked out, man. It's insane. I just had to expose baby metal and all of their fans. They're all pedophiles. I don't like them.
Nice.
You're fucking shattering this for me. Now I have to look it up. It says in the early days they were lip syncing. Over the course of time, they survived. I hate you, Jomo. Now I'm questioning this. I hope they don't, but yeah, you're right. There are, when I watched the Talking Heads thing, they're running all around and like doing jumping jacks and shit, and you don't really hear it in the music. So I don't know if they trained before or what. I don't know. Right now I don't believe that this band lip syncs, but maybe they do. You could be right. I don't know. I want to always think the best of people in bands and hope that everything's real, but I think probably like 80% of shit is fake. One thing that I think is funny about, okay, when we talked about the other albums, I was saying like, I can't understand what the fuck they're saying anyway, so I wouldn't even realize if it was spoken in another language. This is clearly spoken in another language. Like there's some stuff that is in English. But I do think it's funny that like I don't listen to a lot of music that is not in English. Most of the stuff I listen to is in a very small enclosed circle, and I listen to the same stuff over and over again. However, having people sing lyrics that you don't understand really doesn't take away from the music at all. I still had a blast listening to it, and it actually might add to it because these girls are talking about like the lives of teenage girls. I don't give two shits about the lives of teenage girls, and it's probably shit I don't want to hear about anyway. I didn't have to hear it. It was fine. I could picture the crowd going nuts for this band. They do a good job. This is a very cool combination. Jomo says there's too much J-pop here. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Like there are songs like Doki Doki Morning, which, that's the one where I'm saying like I could picture a metal fan just standing there in horror listening to that shit, being like, the fuck is this? Also, this band needs to get their own Dance Dance Revolution game. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet because these guys aren't that new. They've been around for a decade now. And I go to the arcade quite a bit, and they have a bunch of like rhythm games and music games. I'm surprised they haven't tried to make one for this band. But yeah, I think the CD is pretty much good beginning to end. There's a song, Uki Uki Midnight, which was, I don't remember if that was a single or not, but like when this band comes together, especially in that song, like it hits really hard. And like when I listen to that, it's like, I hope they close shows with this, because this is where like everyone, it doesn't close this record, but it's like, this is where everyone comes together and it just sounds like everything is finally like lining up together perfectly, exactly as it was intended. So yeah, I think that they created a cool sub genre of metal, and no matter what somebody wants to combine with metal, they do it with country, they do it with hip hop, they do it with all kinds of stuff, and it always makes a cool product. This is another one that is at one point unique here, whether it still is or not, I don't know. I'm not going to dive into this entire genre of music, but yeah, I respect them. They did a good job, and this entire band is awesome. Let's read a couple YouTube comments first. I haven't seen a comment about this drummer. He says flipping awesome. Next one says the track Death is ultra epic. Next one says mind officially blown away from too much awesomeness. Next one says these ladies brought me back to metal. And lastly, one of the best albums I have ever heard, a complete masterpiece from start to finish. Yeah, it's not, baby metal's not dethroning Megadeth for me, but I respect them and I think they're legit. And if I saw them live, I would be entertained the whole time. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about baby metal?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Otoboke Beaver. Super Champon is an 18-track record released in 2022, coming in just over 21 minutes long. It's the band's 10th release and their first full-length studio album featuring all new songs rather than fully or partially compiling songs from previously released EPs and rarities, reaching number 77 on the UK album downloads chart, and contains the singles Dirty Old Fart is Waiting for My Reaction and I Am Not Maternal. According to the band, the word champon refers to their mixing of genres. While the word is a Japanese noun meaning a mixture or jumble of things of different types, it also sounds like champion. I thought Jumbo had mistyped this or miscopied this, and it was supposed to be champion, because Super Champion seems like a title.
But it isn't.
The band formed in 2009 while the members were active in a rock music club. Otoboke Beaver is named after a love motel in Osaka, which was located near the high school of one of the band members. So, you know how you go and rent a hotel room for an hour and just bang in it? That's it. In June 2011, Otoboke Beaver released a demo CD featuring three songs. In 2012, the group released their first live album. In 2013, they released a limited edition single. In 2016, Otoboke signed with the British label Damably. The band began touring internationally in 2016, including dates at the 100 Club in London and South by Southwest in the United States in 2017. Their trip to South by Southwest was financially assisted by fan funding via Campfire and Kickstarter. Other notable tour mates have included The Cribs, Guitar Wolf, and Wussy. In 2018, founding drummer Pop left the band and was replaced by Kahokas, who had attended the same university music club as the band's founding members almost a decade before. Along with releasing the single Dirty Old Fart is Waiting for My Reaction in early 2020, the members of Otoboke Beaver quit their day jobs to become a full-time touring band. They were able to tour for 2 weeks in Europe before the COVID-19 pandemic. During the lockdown period, they focused on developing new songs and played several live shows via Instagram. Otoboke Beaver returned to touring in late 2022 with a series of shows in Europe, followed by their first full-length tour in North America. Another tour of Europe and North America followed in early 2023. Their performance at that year's South by Southwest received coverage from Rolling Stone, which described their set as both a goddamn riot and tight as hell. The songs I Am Not Maternal and I Won't Dish Out Salads are both commentaries on the social demands placed on Japanese women, and the song Don't Call Me Mojo is an ode to a Japanese TV show about undesirable women. Rob, what do you think about Otoboke Beaver?
This band is awesome. If I heard that right, they decided in 2019 that they were going to like be a full-time band, and then they quit, and then like immediately got hit by the fucking coronavirus. A thing that I've heard that story a bunch of times now with a bunch of comedians and whatever. Like, what fucking bad timing. Anyways, So I also noticed the drummer, drummer one quits in 2018, and then because my introduction to this band, I've seen the drummer has gone viral. I've seen clips of a few times. I know Jomo sent me one, and I think I saw it a few times But yeah, like so I don't know how many times a drummer goes viral. Oh, also I follow a bunch of drummers on social media, so maybe that's why I get that information. So I don't know if this is like viral. I just know that like when in fucking the year 2000, when that band made that fucking song, Nobody Takes Pictures of the Drummer. Yeah, that like me and everyone I fucking knew like commented on, like, you know, you see these music videos on MTV. It's all the fucking singer, maybe a little bit of the guitarist. You don't fucking see the drummer. Nobody fucking gives a shit about the drummer. And, you know, for me, that was a fucking highlight. I had a fucking stage fright. So I'm just like, yeah, hide me behind a wall of cymbals and that'll help me like not feel afraid. Whatever. So yeah, like, so for a drummer to go viral, that's a big fucking deal. And yeah, this drummer is awesome, and you see that on the YouTube comments. Like, people fucking noticed her, which is you know, you don't see that all the time. And also, you know, there's plenty of misogyny in the world. There's plenty of misogyny in this podcast. We consider ourselves fucking comedians, so why the fuck not? But yeah, anyways, I've seen a certain amount of, how do I say this? I don't know. This drummer is awesome. And I'm not saying that as in she's awesome for a girl. I'm saying she's awesome, period. I'm saying her drum set is tuned awesome. I'm saying she hits hard. She's fucking fast. She's tight. She's creative. So she's fucking top tier. Fucking top tier. And it's not just her. The bass player also. Bass player, like this, like... Okay, so quickly about the bass player. Like, she's not playing the minimum. She's not following the guitar player. You mentioned they went to school. I fucking believed that. Like, I could, like, the fills that the bass player plays, this is not a bass player that's played the minimum, okay? So, sideline. Like, okay, so when I was listening to this band, I kept thinking of like bands that I've seen at the Flywheel or like, you know, like bands that were trying to deconstruct music. Like, they might have like a certain I've seen a certain amount of bands that were trying to deconstruct music but could like barely play their instruments, and like you know, maybe they're trying to convey a certain message about being free and being wild, and I could appreciate that and understand. You know, I too felt like the purpose of music is to fucking break out. But like, I'm kind of rigid when it comes to music shit. I want you to be fucking good at your instrument. If you don't know how to tune, if you don't know how to like whatever, then I kind of hate you. Like, it's like, don't fucking disrespect my time. Like, if you are coming onto stage, I expect a certain amount of professionalism. Maybe I'm fucking close-minded when it comes to certain shit. But like, I really fucking like, Frank Zappa would talk about this one. Like, he said his favorite fucking band in the world is some like a family of musicians who apparently had like never listened to music before, so they were just like given instruments, but like, it's like their mother went to a medium, and the medium said, like, I know that your daughters are gonna become super fucking famous, so she made her husband buy like guitars and shit for their like daughters, and the daughters formed a band even though they had never listened to music before. And to me, what they had made is fucking unlistenable. It's not but to Frank Zappa, he's like, okay, well, I've never heard music like this because this is unconditioned. Like, society makes the certain, like, the same shit over and over. Like, how many fucking Transformers movies do we have, for example? It's like societal conditioning makes the same shit fucking over and over and over, and you can get really fucking tired of that. So Frank Zappa was like, here's a band that's totally unconditioned, so it's totally fucking fresh, it inspires me. And I understand that argument, but like, the band that he was talking about was fucking unlistenable to me. Now, I approach that with a certain amount of music that I've heard over the years, where it's like, I can hear that you're doing something totally fucking different, and I want to like it for that reason, and maybe I do, but maybe you annoy me to fucking death, and maybe I just, and then kind of sideline, a couple of years ago, I saw Melt Banana live, and I kind of loved that band when I saw it live because it was fucking energetic. It was deconstructing music, And then I went home and I listened to some of their records, like their 2013 album Fetch. I could listen to it for like 15 minutes or so. I could remember how good they were live. And then it would like annoy me past a certain point. It was just, and then to that day, Melt Banana was like the best band of that type that I had found. It had this like crazy ballistic like punk energy that was like deconstructing like what is normal for musicians to make, and it was presented with like a whole lot of like aggressive loud energy that like when I listened to it live, I'm like, this fucking makes me unleash the fucking wolf inside, fucking 10 out of 10. And then listening to the albums at home, it's like, you know, it's not the fucking same, because you can't, like, a recording can't do what a live show does. And you know, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, Otoboke Beaver is the best version of anything like this that I've heard so far. And I've listened to this 21 minute album like beginning to end like 10 times this week. It's a fucking good album. I mean, it does occasionally irritate me, but like for a band that like is deconstructing music and will like get kind of like a rhythm going and then break down the rhythm into like you know, adding extra punctuations to swear more, like it's done. It's I think it's fucking hilarious. I love how, like, you know, in their song Pardon, like most of that song is shut up. I'm being disrespected and I love it. I want, like, yeah, I am not maternal. I won't dish out salads. I believe at a certain age of my life, I was trying to date women like this and they were like wild fucking cats and they tore me to shreds, and I have mixed feelings about, revisiting these memories. What I like about it is that I'm not dating them and they are not stealing from me and whatever. So as long as I am just listening to their music, I'm having a good time. It's hilarious. They're at the peak of their game, like as far as like for people who are writing ballistic ass music in which fucking time changes and whatever happens, it's at times like, you know, they'll have like a surfer beat, so it'll be like kind of catch for a moment, and then it'll be ballistic, and then it'll be, but yeah, these are people who can play their instruments actually. And I don't know, I had a good fucking time listening to this band. I like them quite a bit. At times I wanted to give them number one, because in certain ways I respect them more than like Baby Metal. Like the thing, I generally speaking, I hate any band that's like made by a committee, and I hate any band in which like the singers don't like play an instrument, or like as a rule, I hate any singer who comes in with a big fucking ego and thinks that they're the most important member of the band, even though all they have to do is show up, look good, and like sing with the voice that God gave them. Like, so like that's a reason that I love Otoboke Beaver so much, is like this is not because there's no money involved and these guys are fucking good at their instruments. I don't fucking know, there's a certain passion here that's not like how do I say this, a person's need to make material ends meet can make them do all sorts of things with a certain level of seriousness. And so when you're doing something that you can't possibly become a millionaire doing it, it's like it kind of says like you're probably doing this because you're actually passionate, and like this is like a calling from inside. It's not the calling from outside, it's not the calling from your parents like saying you have to be a doctor otherwise I'm ashamed of you. This is like, these guys are doing the fucking opposite. Their family is probably fucking I don't know how many musicians have brought shame upon their household by being a musician because their parents wanted them to be a doctor or something. They put a lot of fucking time and energy into being this good at their fucking instruments. And I don't know. I kind of fucking love these guys. Second place for the week. That's it.
Yeah, I love these guys as well. This band apparently doesn't do any count-offs when they play live. They just know when to come in together. So yeah, this CD is whack in all the right ways. So this band is not as marketable as Baby Metal, and that's fine. They don't need to be. And this is a band that will spread constantly, probably through word of mouth. I'm giving this a tie for number one for the week, but if I had to choose one, I think this is my favorite. When I first put this on, I was like, the fuck am I listening to right now? I just pressed play when I was running, and I'm just like, the fuck, what is this? Anyway, this album is great, and it's straight to the point. The more I listen to it, the more I love it. This CD is under 22 minutes long, and it has 18 songs on it. Multiple of the songs are less than 20 seconds long. Listen to some of these titles. Where did you buy such a nice watch that you are wearing now? You're no hero. You're no hero. Shut up. Fuck you, man whore. Next song, Dirty Old Fart is waiting for my reaction. And then do you want me to send a DM part two? Yeah, every time I listened to this, I pictured Jomo listening to it and contemplating suicide. I want to know what he thinks about this record, because I'm going to guess that he fucking hates it. There are a couple live shows of them on YouTube. One of them is when they played South by Southwest. That show is okay. It's plagued by a couple things. The audience is fucking awful. They're standing there with their phones up recording it. They're the shittiest audience in fucking history. And also, whoever mixed their sound, I don't think did a good job. So the show is there. The music is there. But I'm going to guess that they've sounded better elsewhere. They also, one of their live Instagram concerts that they were doing is also on YouTube. It's like an hour and a half long. So to have one of their albums that's like 20 minutes and the other album, I think it's around 20 minutes. I don't know what the fuck else they're doing for 30 minutes, but they're standing in a circle. There's somebody with a camera in the middle spinning around showing them playing, and it sounds good. It looks good. This is a band like I said, the more I listened to, the more that I liked it. The four of these ladies, I think all of them sing, and they sound great together. Personally, if I was them, I would have milked the CD for way more than they did. There's only two singles from this. This record is just about 2 years old. I don't know when it came out in 2022. So normally when an album is that old, people aren't still putting out singles unless you're like Green Day and you wanted to do literally every fucking song on it and do a music video. But yeah, these guys have a crazy amount of riffs per minute. I don't know, this is like organized chaos. I wouldn't say it's unorganized because everybody's together. They all come in together. They all know exactly what's going on. But to like just putting this record on and listening to it and trying to follow along to everything is fun. It's yeah. And anyone who listens to this and hates it initially, I would say listen to it a couple more times. When I first put it on and I did a double take, like, the fuck am I listening to? I didn't hate it. But this record, I think, is going to be off-putting to 95% of the people who put it on for the first time. And when I think about, like, every song on here is great. I like pretty much this entire album. So when you hear song structures like this, it's like, how do you go back to the boomer AABA song structure? You really don't. I don't know. It's hard. Like, Hollow Teeth does a bunch of shit that is not AABA. I don't know if they have anything that's what, quote unquote, like by the books songwriting. There are songs we have that I'm pretty sure like don't even have a chorus in them. So, which is what I like. I like writing, again, that oh shit moment, right? Where it's not going to where people think it's going. And so, like, when you listen to an album like this, how the fuck do you go back to normal song structure stuff? I'm picturing this band playing at the same festival as someone who writes four-chord songs, and the person who writes the four-chord songs is being paid 10 times the amount to be there than this band. These guys will get big. I don't think they're ever going to get gigantic big. They'll go viral a bunch of times because this style of music, this style of songwriting is never going to be properly accepted by the mainstream world, no matter how much I want it to be. Jomo, how much you hate this fucking band? If you tell me you love them, then I don't know shit about you anymore.
God damn it.
I fucking hate Jomo.
They're good, but I'm actually crunched on time, man, so I have nothing to say.
All right.
I fucking hate you, Jomo. All right, anyway, yeah, this band's awesome. Let's read a couple YouTube comments. We'll get the fuck out of here. First, restoring my faith in rock music. Next one says, a great work as always. Don't know how y'all topped the last one, but you did. Next comment, just saw them live. Fucking amazing. Next, further confirmation that they are the best rock and roll band on the planet. And lastly, unbelievable musicianship and energy. So, yeah, they do have a following. They're going to get bigger. There's also some simping going on here as well. Don't think that there isn't. There's women involved who are attractive and fronting the band. But like Rob said, they are competent at what they're doing. It's not like they're playing shit fucking music and looking pretty doing it. They're playing good music and looking pretty doing it. So the simping thing is just going to happen natively. Anybody want to say anything else about anything we listened to today?
No.
I fucking nice. Hate you, Joel. I fucking hate Joel so much.
What are you listening to next?
I want to pick like four CDs because I wanted to listen to Faith No More, but I don't want to listen to four Faith No More CDs. So I want to do like Faith No More, Sonic Youth. I'll pick four. I'll post them in a chat. It's going to be like 90s stuff.
Sounds good. Okay.
Take care.